Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to In the Studio with your girl Lennis on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving, huh? It's on the Essence of Success Radio Network. That phone number is area code 646-727-2914. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Well, today's show, we're going to be talking about Ferguson, the weather, entertainment news, and, of course, sports. So if you have any comments or opinions, you're more than welcome to call in and share them. I'll tell you how I feel, and you can tell me how you feel, and hey, so be it. We'll come to a compromise in the middle. But anyway, I'm so glad that you are joining me today. The chat room is open. If you don't want to get in on the line and call in, go into the chat room, and I'm sure as people in there will discuss whatever that's on your mind. We are all here to help you. I'm just being funny. In the studio, as I said, we're going to be discussing about Ferguson, entertainment news, sports, and the weather and what's going on. So let me begin first with birthdays. Happy birthday to Lisa. Y'all know her as Elizabeth in Seattle, my little god sister. Happy birthday to Mike Sundstrom, my friend in Florida. I hope you and your wife enjoyed a good birthday together. You're on your birthday. excuse me. Next one is happy birthday to Moses Ramsey. Moses, happy birthday, brother. I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful time. excuse me. I hope you had a wonderful time with your wife and your children. I know you did. You guys are always a blessing. Happy birthday to my cousin Kenny Roebuck over there in Dubai, the famous model Kenneth Roebuck. Yes, indeedy. Happy birthday to my goddaughter, Tabina Bay, back in New Jersey. Girl, I hope you enjoy your birthday tomorrow and have a wonderful, wonderful time with family and friends. And if not, make your own self happy, okay? Do what you do best. But anyway, happy birthday, baby. You know I love you. And happy birthday to Chris Smith in Baltimore, Maryland, a real good friend of the family, and just getting older and better, Chris. So happy birthday to you, and I hope that you also have a very blessed and enjoyable birthday. Okay, well, let's see what's going on in the entertainment world of the news. I tell you, it's a lot of stuff going on. Well, you know, let's talk about the elephant in the room, y'all. Let's go on and bring it up, Bill Cosby. The unraveling of Bill Cosby. How could a career that was so great go so bad, y'all? Good Lord. In recent weeks, at least three women have come forward making allegations of sexual assault against the legendary comedian. The most recent was supermodel Janice Dickinson. I'm going to tell y'all right now. That woman is ugly. She might have looked good when she was young, but now she's burnt, okay? Ain't nothing about her look good, not even her personality, because she's ugly in that in line. But I'm sorry, Janice, you look burnt, okay? You should have left your looks the way they are before you spreaded them out so thin that you look worse than Saran Wrap, baby. Anyway, the height of her modeling career in the 70s and 80s, but is best known today for her stint as a judge on America's Next Top Model. Dickerson said she was drugged and raped by Cosby in 1982. Cosby's lawyers called Dickerson's claims a lie, but she says Cosby and his lawyers pressured her publisher from revealing this earlier in her recent autobiography. Dickerson joins a growing number of women, at least 16 by press time, y'all, who have made the same allegations against the comedian. Netflix was releasing a new stand-up comedy special, Cosby 77, but they have since dropped plans for that. There was a development deal for a new show on NBC, but the network says plans for a new show were canceled. That's huge, because NBC was looking for the biggest star in its history to once again rescue the network from their last place position. TV Land has pulled the Cosby Show from his schedule. Finally, Raven Simone, his former Cosby Show co-star, had to take to social media to deny rumors that Cosby harassed her while they worked on the show. Bill Cosby has to be one of the most beloved figures in TV history, and now his career looks to be ending in a disastrous way. Cosby 77 has been silent. And he and his wife of 50 years, Camille, have refused to answer or respond to these allegations. Sounds like somebody needs Oprah or Ayanna. Will Cosby ever speak on this, or will he go away quietly? So sad to see his career end on this note. But crimes against women cannot and will not be tolerated or excused, Mr. Bill Cosby. Did you not think what you did in the dark was not going to come to the light? Now, I wasn't there. I don't know how true it is, but I will tell you this. 16 women have come forward. Remember Tiger Woods? Okay. I mean, if there's something that they can prove that this actually happened, I don't know, because you're talking 40, 50 years ago, but people don't lie about. Well, I'll put it like this. The ones that are true that you really did, if you did do this, the truth will never change. Now, that chick Dickerson, I don't know, because she wrote in her book that you, Mr. Cosby, she tried to make a play for you, but you didn't want to be bothered with her. She wasn't your type or whatever. Okay, fine, but yet she comes out later and say that she was raped. Now Dickerson is saying that, well, her publisher and everybody pressured her not to put anything in the book about her and Bill Cosby. If it's your autobiography, what do you care? If it's the truth, Janice Dickerson. Okay, will comedian actor Tracy Morgan ever be the same? Morgan was in a limo accident that almost killed him in June. He suffered a broken leg, nose, ribs, and severe brain injuries. The crash, which involved a Walmart truck, killed his manager and injured three other people. The driver of the Walmart truck was charged in the accident for reckless driving. Sources says he had been working and driving the truck for over 24 hours straight. Morgan is suing Walmart, but Walmart has charged that Morgan contributed to the accident because he and the other passengers were not wearing seatbelts. Well, let me just say this on behalf of Tracy Morgan and other people that ride in friggin' limousines, okay? You don't put on seatbelts when you're in limousine, fuckers. Everybody's riding and drinking and laughing and high-fiving and doing their thing. They ain't got no seatbelts on. Now you want to come back and say because he didn't have a seatbelt on, it's on him? Okay. I'll tell you what, Walmart. Show me the law that says it is required, excuse me, for all limos to have seatbelts and that their passengers will have to have seatbelts on when they're inside a limousine. Thank you very much. That's all I have to say. All right, y'all, excuse me. I got to cough for a minute. Okay, I'm back. Ooh, had to drink a little water. Water. Singer Jimmy Ruffin has died. Excuse me. The Motown singer was signed to the label at its height when most of the artists on the label were able to get big hits. Ruffin wasn't the company's most successful artist, but he gave the label enduring hits. Ruffin's songs included I've Passed This Way Before, Gonna Give Her All the Love I've Got, Farewell Is a Lonely Sound, and of course, What Becomes of the Brokenhearted. Ruffin was also the brother of the late Temptations lead, David Ruffin. Motown had the two release a duet album called I Am My Brother's Keeper. Jimmy Ruffin was 78 years old. Singer Anthony Hamilton is releasing his first ever holiday CD called Home for the Holidays. The BET Network is canceling their signature video show 106 in part. The latest installment starred rapper Bow Wow. Back in his heyday, the show featured top-named celebrity hosts and personalities such as Terrence J, Rossi, AJ Calloway, Free. After a 14-year run, 106 in Park is going digital in after they air their last daily show on BET December 19th. Okay, you young folks, you got it now. Teen sensation Moni Davis is ready to tell her life story. At 13, she is releasing her autobiography, Moni Davis, Remember My Name. Davis was the first female pitcher to compete in a Little League World Series. Actress and comedian Kathy Griffin will be replacing the late Joan Rivers on the E! Television show Fashion Police. Yay! I like Kathy Griffin. I know she's gross and she's D-list, but you know what? I like her. The show will no longer air weekly, but as an event show during award show and specials. Reality star NeNe Leakes was in the running for the job, but she fell out of favor with the producers. Leakes is also having problems with the producers at Bravo, who are not happy with her on the new season Real Housewives of Atlanta. They feel she is phony in her appearances despite being paid millions. You get what you pay for. You know what NeNe was like when you called on her. So don't start with your bullshit now, Bravo. You got her. Deal with it. Chris Hemsworth of Thor has been named People's Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive. Also included in the issue is Idris Elba, Michael B. Jordan, and Terry Crews. All right, you better list some brothers. I know that's right. Well, Dave Chappelle is ready to reclaim his place in the spotlight. He has been planning a comeback, and he is featured as one of GQ magazine's Men of the Year. Chappelle is planning big things for next year. The comedian is best known for his groundbreaking work on Comedy Central's Chappelle Show. It was a big hit, and at its height, Chappelle walked away from a contract that would have had him set for life. Yes, I want you to know this, y'all. They offered Comedy Central offered Chappelle a $50 million contract per year, and he walked away. Why? Because they were not letting him have the authority over his show and how he wanted to run it. So for $50 million, you had to do what the white man had to do, not what you wanted to do. So I don't blame you for walking away. So be it. Now when you come back doing your thing, your way. Singer Faith Evans is releasing a new album of duets with her late husband, rapper Notorious B.I.G. It's been 20 years since Biggie's death, and now Faith wants to rejoin their voices for a new project. The King and I is due out next year, but first Faith will be in Philly for the WDAS Holiday Jam. Okay, I'll just say this. What's her name? Nat King Cole's daughter. She did it with her dad. And I think they did something with Michael Jackson, you know, trying to do a duet or something. But anyway, wish y'all the luck in the world, Faith. Hope it works out for you, girlfriend. The Boss is coming to the Voices. Yes, Deanna Ross, the diva of all divas, will be appearing on the show. Miss Ross is scheduled to appear on the NBC singing reality show the week of November 24th, which means she was on Monday. Okay, Stevie Wonder is getting a White House honor. Later this month, the Oscar-winning musician is getting the Presidential Medal of Freedom in a ceremony hosted by President Obama. Wonder is going to be honored along with journalist Tom Brokaw, Oscar winner Meryl Streep, and Stephen Sondheim. In other Stevie Wonder news, a 64-year-old Motown legend confirmed he and his girlfriend, Tamika Robin Bracey, who just had a baby last year, is pregnant again, but with only one child. It's a girl, and they are naming her Nia. Singer Al Green is getting a new honor. He is being honored as part of the 2014 Kennedy Center Honors. Comedian Stephen Colbert, who will take the reins from David Letterman on The Late Show in 2015, is hosting. The show will air December 30th on CBS. Oscar winner Tom Hanks, singer Sting, and comedian Lily Tomlin will also be honored. Mama Pope is back! Actress Candy Alexander is returning to Scandal in an explosive mid-season cliffhanger. The show takes a break during the holidays and will return in the winter of 2015, January. The American Music Awards have nominations for John Legend, Sam Smith, and Beyonce. This year, some of the nominations have up to 10 slots to cover more artists. The awards were this past Sunday, so you'll have to look on the internet to find out who won what. The Adventures of Woody and Buzz continues with the new Toy Story 4. It hits theaters in 2017. Well, Ebony Magazine is celebrating 2014 with a year-end issue, celebrating with their Power 100 list. Those on the list include Oprah Winfrey, Roland Martin, Kevin Frazier, the new co-anchor of Entertainment Tonight. The Best of Whitney Houston is a new live DVD CD set now available. Houston died 2 years ago, and the DVD CD honors her musical legacy. Music legend Clive Davis, who guided Houston through her biggest career success, supervised the music selections by picking Houston's performances at the peak of her career. One of the most anticipated movies of the new year is Selma. The movie, produced by Oprah Winfrey and directed by Ava DuVernay, focuses on the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. during the 1965 Selma, Alabama march that he led. The movie stars David Oyelowo as Dr. King, Carmen Ejogo as Coretta Scott King. The movie also features Cuba Gooding Jr., Wendell Pierce, Tessa Thompson from Dear White People. You know, Wendell Pierce just ended on, the Louisiana New Orleans show. I can't think of the name of it right now. But anyway, singer Ledesi as Mahalia Jackson and Oprah Winfrey. The movie opens in limited release Christmas Day in New York and Los Angeles, and then it opens nationwide January 9th. The trailer is powerful. You can check it out on the websites. Okay. There is also early Oscar buzz on the movie. DuVernay could have history as the first African-American woman nominated as director for her work on Selma. Okay, rapper Biz Markie is sporting a new look, y'all. He lost 140 pounds. Markie is best known for his hip-hop classic Vapors, Picking Boogers, and Just a Friend. Markie lost the weight when he discovered he was diabetic, and now he is on a campaign educating people about diabetes. Damn, brother, you ugly. But bless your heart. Sorry to hear about the diabetes. I'm looking at a picture of him, y'all. God, thought it was Halloween. Remember the 70s TV show, The $6 Million Man with Lee Majors? Well, a reboot is in the works with actor Mark Wahlberg, starring for the role of bionic astronaut Steve Austin. LL Cool J will be hosting a Very Merry Christmas special on CBS Friday, December 5th. Mary J. Blige and Pharrell are scheduled to perform. And gospel singer Marvin Sapp is also coming to Philly. Okay, Alicia Keys and her hubby Swiss Beatz are expecting their second child any day now on the heels of her new children's book. It's a book about the singer's relationship with her grandmother. The children's book, entitled Blue Moon, from the journals of Mama May and Lily, is out now. Donald Trump has announced the lineup for the new season of Celebrity Apprentice, which includes actress Vivica Fox, Former football star Terrell Owens, man, he's in need of money. Journalist Geraldo Rivera, yeah, we won't even talk about you no more. Cosby Kid, Keisha Knight Pullman, and Real Housewives of Atlanta star Kenya Moore, shit starter. Celebrity Apprentice returns to NBC on Sunday, January 4th at 9 p.m. Oscar winner Jamie Foxx and Oscar nominee Willa Zane Wallace grace the cover of December issue of Essence magazine. The two are co-starring, y'all, in the newest big screen version of the movie musical Annie. The original film came out in 1982 and was a Broadway sensation. Before that, Jay-Z and Will Smith are producing this version, which also stars Cameron Diaz. Annie opens in theaters December 19th, in about 3 weeks. Okay, Johnny Gill is enlisting New Edition and Bobby Brown for his latest album, marking the first time in 10 years they've recorded together. They all have been touring together, but not recording. Gill's latest album, The Game Changer, comes out December 9th. Babyface is also helping out with the project. Well, it's coming out here shortly, so it should be done, right? I mean, that's what I would think. Okay, well, anyway, it's time for a break. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back just shortly. All right, I'm enjoying y'all. Thank you for being here with me today, whether you're in the chat room or listening to me or calling in. But thanks for being with me today. I'm having a ball. And, again, happy Thanksgiving. We are back. You're listening to In the Studio with Linus on the Essence of Success Radio Network. That phone number is area code 646-727-2914. 646-727-2914. And the chat room is open. Miss Nina's in there. Today is her day off. Bless her heart. She's in there always. She's always working. I'll tell you, Miss Nina's 24/7. But anyway, she's in there if you care to chat, you know, to talk. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about sports, and then we're going to go to everything else. Okay, on the NFL front this week, Woodson ready to call it quits, heading to the final stretch of Charles Woodson's 18th NFL season. The veteran defensive back, y'all, will certainly have to answer a lot of questions about his future. Is retirement on his mind, or would the 38-year, yeah, I said 38. You know that's old for football. 38-year-old like to continue playing. We'll see. Okay, is Arian Foster ready to return? Arian Foster has missed the past two games due to a groin injury, but there's some optimism regarding his possible return to the field for Week 13, which is what we're in right now. It was the Tennessee Titans. Okay, Moncrief, are you ready to break out? Back in May, Indianapolis used a third-round pick on speedy receiver Dante Moncrief with the intention of giving Andrew Luck another threat in the passing game. It took a while, but the rookie is starting to show signs of breaking out. All right, and that's at the Patriots. Again at the Patriots, has Reggie Wayne lost a step? That less than 1 year after blowing out his knee, an aging Reggie Wayne was able to return to game action in September is a testament to his skills and heart. He hasn't just been an innocent bystander either, as he extended his streak of games with at least three catches to 81 games on Sunday. Okay, a look at Matthew's late-season impact. In his return to action on Sunday, San Diego Chargers running back Ryan Matthews racked up 105 yards on a dozen carries, 8.8, against the St. Louis Rams. And for the New Orleans Saints, expectation for Saints, Ingram Thomas. Lord have mercy. All signs continue to point toward Pierre Thomas returning Monday night from the shoulder injury that has sidelined him for the past month. Colts protecting Luck a concern after being whipped 42-20 by the New England Patriots last week. Ha ha! The Indianapolis Colts earned a seemingly simple 23-3 win over the hapless Jacksonville Jaguars this past Sunday. Witten Prime for big game versus Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles defense held the Tennessee Titans to 24 points on Sunday on their way to a 43-24 victory, holding a middling offense led by rookie quarterback Mettenberger. In check is one thing, but the Eagles will be tested in a much more serious manner Thursday night, Tony Romo and the Dallas Cowboys. Well, I'll tell you, this Thursday night, Thanksgiving, we are doing Seahawks are playing this, we're playing the 49ers. So I think you guys kind of got that one off. But anyway, yeah. Well, you know what, y'all? Let's look and see what the standings are. I mean, I'm interested to see what's going on there. So let's check that out. Let me pull that up. Let's see. Okay, these are the season standings right now in the NFL. So, in the NF East, number one, Philadelphia, 8-3. Behind them is Dallas, 8-3. So it's tied for first place in the NFC East. In the NFC North, we've got Green Bay, 8-3. Detroit in second place, 7-3. In the NFC North, in the NFC South, the top two is Atlanta 4-7 and New Orleans 4-7. Well, the South is just bad. Carolina Panthers is 3-7 and Tampa Bay is 2-9. Somebody pray for them, okay? NFC West, we got Arizona 9-2, Seattle Seahawks in second place 7-4, tied with San Francisco 49ers 7-4. So when we play you Thursday, San Francisco 49ers, you know we're going to whoop that ass. Okay, just thought I'd throw that out there. Okay, now the American Football Conference, we've got AFC East, top two, New England 9-2, and Miami 6-5. Which are tied in second place with Buffalo 6-5. That's going to be pretty interesting. So we're going to be watching them coming this week, the week 13. In the AFC North, we've got Cincinnati 7-3, Baltimore 7-4, Pittsburgh 7-4, Cleveland 7-4. So AFC North, throw up a coin and take a pick. We don't know what's going to happen. It's all they're all seven games now. So let's see what's going to happen in AFC North this week. Now, the AFC South, we got Indianapolis in first place, 7-4. Houston is in second place with 5-6. I just want to say this about AFC South. Jacksonville, you've won one game all season. You've got 10 losses. And Tennessee is right behind you. They've only won two games in the AFC South with 9 losses. Y'all need to get it together. I thought them other people need prayer. Shoot, you better gather church folks, auditorium of people, AFC South. Okay, in the AFC West, we've got Denver. Hey, hey, hey. Lydia's team. Denver is 8-3, number one. Right behind them, coming up on their heels, is Kansas City 7-4 and San Diego 7-4. They're both tied for second place. And last place in the AFC West, who do you think it is, y'all? I can wait. Take a guess. Right. Oakland. They won one game through the whole season. They've lost 10, okay? Oakland, you might want to think about getting another coach or your front office. Somebody is, like, way off, not doing their thing. Okay, well, with that, let's take another quick break. And we'll be right back. I would like to welcome Mina and Brenda online. Hey, ladies. We'll be right back. in the studio with Linus on a Wednesday night just before Thanksgiving. You know, we are just so tickled to have everybody here, the listening audience, as well as people in the chat room and people that are calling in. So now, first off, we're going to talk about Ferguson, and I'll probably join the people on the line to come in with us. My thing about Ferguson, number one, I didn't jump on the bandwagon, okay, till you hear the truth or know everything. I didn't see the autopsy report. There were five black people on that jury that agreed with the officer that did the shooting. So that tells me we already know the young man was wrong when he told him to get out the street and he decided to attack. So I don't get on that bandwagon with Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and all these people, because wrong is wrong and right is right. That boy killed himself. He brought that on himself. All he had to do was step out the street and walk on. He'd have been at home. He'd have been sitting here Thanksgiving tomorrow with his family enjoying a good dinner. But no, he decided to act a fool and thought he was arrogant and bad and decided to go up against the cop. And you know what? He ain't here now. So that, as far as I'm concerned about Ferguson, you people need to really think. I've seen people on Facebook and Google, and they just really tear at the police and profiling and stuff. Okay, true. There have been incidents where black men are probably more profiled than other men. Okay, I'll agree with you with that. But there's also people to know how to do what's right law-wise. When the police pull up to ask you something, answer them correctly. Keep your hands down, whether you're being stopped for a traffic stop or you're walking down the street. Do what the officer asks you, and you'll be home. Okay, you'll be at home with your family, but if you want to act a fool like this Michael Brown did, then so be it. Like my mother used to say, plenty room out there, and black never goes out of style. There's always black dresses, black hat, black purses, okay? So that's my feeling about Ferguson. Now, there was a 12-year-old child that got shot earlier this week also that was shot and killed because he had an air gun, or pellet gun, I guess it was, and it didn't have the orange tip on it that lets you know it's a toy. Otherwise, you think it's a real gun. Well, he got shot and killed. Well, do you know that the people that were standing by and watching him said, this little 12-year-old boy was just waving the gun around to anybody, whoever, in the air, just waving it. Now, the police told him to put it down. Would he not be alive today if he had to deal with what the police said? Because once he put the gun down and if the police shot him, then, hey, that would have been on the police officer, wouldn't it? But no, he kept flancing the gun around until the police had to shoot him because they didn't know whether it was a real gun or not. And I don't blame him. When a policeman leaves home in the morning, all he cares about is getting back home to his family. Okay, so, hey, I looked at it on the news this evening. Y'all, it looked like a real gun to me. Okay, but what was this 12-year-old doing outside with a pellet gun, thinking that it was okay to wave this gun around, knowing what all this happened with Michael Brown? He's 12 years old. He's at the age to know. His parents or whatever were talking in the house. He's at the age to know. Why would you go outside with a gun and become a statistic? Just stupid. Well, stupid. Well, but anyway, go ahead, Brenda. Well,
okay,
well,
a couple of things.
Welcome Brenda online. Brenda's with us on Sunday, sometimes when she can be for psychic readings. Okay, go ahead, Brenda.
Well, the thing about children that are 12, we don't know what his actual understanding level was. There's a lot of people that aren't at the level of development of their age. So there's a lot of people out there that we assume should know better, but they may not know better. I don't know if people really understand all the time that there are going to be certain kinds of consequences coming their way for their actions. I mean, it would be nice if we were of that understanding. But I also think, like, as far as the Michael Brown situation, I think he put himself on that path, but I also believe he was on a path that intersected with somebody who was quite fearful. I mean, I the more I listen and watch the police officer speak, he, to me, probably was too fearful to be in the position he was in. A lot of the things that he described you know, whether you're just being nervous because you're on air or what, it just sounds like somebody who is fearful of a specific population. And it might not be that he's generally fearful of black people, but maybe he's fearful of black people in that area. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure most people have a little bit, well, the ones with a little bit of understanding, excuse me, have a little different way of reacting to people when they're walking down Crenshaw, a street in Crenshaw, versus walking down the street in the middle of Connecticut. And, you know, either one of those situations, if you're an African-American male, can be a problem. One's going to be from probably somebody who looks like you. The other one's going to be from people who are definitely not looking like you. So, and you know, even in our own city, let me just say the city of Seattle, where I was born, there are certain neighborhoods where if you're walking down that neighborhood and you don't belong in that neighborhood, you know, whether it's your race or they just don't know you, somebody could be messing with you. Or they're just waiting for you to park your car and walk away from it, and it's all over.
That's true. That's true. But
so,
Brenda, go ahead.
To tell you how far that goes, my first year of college, I met a young lady. She's the second semester of college at Gonzaga University, and she was from New York. There weren't a lot of transports from New York that would come to Gonzaga University, but she got there, and she was so like a fish out of water because she had that real New York attitude. And she was telling me about where somebody had parked their RV in her neighborhood. And they were visiting, like, the holidays, some neighbor. And she said, you know, the next day they came out and that RV was up on blocks and the truck was gone and the doors and the windows were broken out and all that. And I said, that's awful. And she goes, well, they shouldn't have parked there. I said, what are you talking about? She goes, they don't know that neighborhood. They shouldn't have parked there. Now, she happened to be Caucasian, but listen to the attitude. Where you are can affect what's going on when you're there and you don't, quote-unquote, belong there. So that happens no matter what race you are.
Yeah, but so, Brenda, he was in his neighborhood. My thing is that all he had to do was just listen to the cop, get out the street. That boy would be alive today. But he didn't.
Oh, we're in agreement that Michael Brown has – we all have to be responsible for our actions.
Amen.
But by the same token, I believe the police officer needs to be responsible for his actions as well. And I think that he's hiding under the shield of the police officer thing. He, you know, all the logical steps that people are thinking, you know, why did you get out of the car? I mean, here's the thing. Why get out of the car if you're so fearful? He didn't feel the fear when he had a gun in his hand. But he claimed he called for backup. Well, then why didn't you wait for it? I mean, there's so many things that don't add up. And just even the way he talks, his body language, there's a lot of things that he says, whether it's been rehearsed or not, that make you think this guy had some fears about his job.
Well, he might
and that
have.
Can make you, yeah, huh?
He might have. But, Brenda, you know, I also understand.
So your point about Michael being the kind of person who was already seeking trouble, you eventually, if you keep on that path, you might meet up with the path of somebody who's a little bit jittery and nervous or whatever, and then here comes a big tragedy. And I'm not putting down police officers in any way, shape, or form. I think that they're under a double-edged sword. Protect us, but don't make me unhappy, or you're worthless. I don't believe in that.
But you know, it's only a small minority of policemen across the United States that there's a problem. The majority, I would say maybe 3-5% at the top of all policemen across the United States. Most of the policemen are there and they do help. You know, they go beyond the call of duty and try to help people or try to work things out that it's not so chaotic, you know, that folks won't understand what's going on. But the few incidents that involved white policemen shooting a black officer, I just want black people to wait until you have the full story to your satisfaction instead of jumping on the bandwagon and saying, oh, this cop ain't this, this cop ain't that. I agree with you, Brenda. He was in a scary situation. You don't know what was going through that man's mind, you know, with this young man coming forward.
It didn't appear to be that scary. It didn't appear to be that scary, Aunt Lynn. I mean, the boy didn't have a weapon. It didn't appear to be that scary for, you know, somebody who's, you know, a seasoned police officer who, you know, actually knows his beat and the people.
Yep.
And he interacts with his community in a way so that he knows them. Then, to me, I believe that there's a lot of police officers out there who will not say it because you never go against, you know, your brothers in arms. But I believe there's a lot of police officers who are out there thinking, yeah, he handled that way differently. It would have completely changed the outcome. And I think there's a lot of police officers that would have handled that way differently.
And yeah, I do too.
And I did my job.
Officer. Yep. Go ahead.
I think to keep saying I did my job, that's we all have jobs, and sometimes the things that are going on with our jobs, that they're, you know, they aren't necessarily part of your job. Those police officers that go out and do things that are beyond their job, are you saying they don't do their job? Are you saying that they shouldn't have done more than their job? It's like this situation is already hot. You know, on one hand, he says that he was just telling them to get out of the street. The next minute, it's like then they could have been the suspects. It's interesting how he's not shooting at everybody. He's just shooting at Michael. And I think he immediately became fearful when Michael advanced towards him or hit his car.
I wanted to tell you, Brenda, did you know? Yeah. Well, did you know there was 5 blacks on that jury?
There's 3.
And they agree, or it was 3?
No, there was 3 on the panel, 3 African-Americans.
Okay. Well, they agreed with the police officer. They didn't want their name.
Yeah, and then that's a whole other
element.
They didn't
want their name
put out
there.
I think that there's several elements going on.
Right.
How the courts handled things. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, no. I agree with you. And another thing we do have to deal with is profiling. That is a problem. Profiling
is
a problem across the United States. And it's not just African Americans. It's Latinos. They catch a lot of hell, too, from police. So it's like if you're brown, you're wrong, but you shouldn't be.
I woke up at my other apartment, and I lived in Seattle at the time, and I lived in a neighborhood that was literally the borderline between the super wealthy of the Seattle area and the negative neighborhood. I lived literally on the line. So on one side of the street, there was these big mansions. On the other side of the street, there's sort of duplexes and homes that are for middle class to lower average, whatever. And at 2:00 in the morning, I was in my apartment. I lived on a corner, and I heard some weird noises. And then my dog started growling. I thought, "What the?" And I didn't turn the lights on. The lights were off. I was asleep in the living room, and I got up and I looked around, and there was 4 guys at this car parked on the corner, in the intersection. And I thought, that's suspicious looking, and I called the police, and I said, it's sort of weird, I don't know what's going on, but it's awfully strange at this hour. And the person said, well, can you tell me what color they are? I'm not lying, this is how the whole conversation went. And I said, what has that got to do with it? Well, we need to know what to look for. You need to look for four men or males, look like males, that are, you know, doing something strange with a car. I don't know if they stole it. I don't know if they're stealing it. But I would think you'd want to get here and assess what's going on with the crime. And it's like, well, are they dark-skinned or are they, you know, do they look more white? These are the questions that are being asked of me. Mind you, they don't know what color I am. And I said, look, you either care whether this crime is being committed or not. I've given you the address of where it is. Come or don't come. That's on you. And I was so incensed. It's like, if I said it were black people, would you then race out there? If I said they were white young men, are you going to race out? Who cares what color it is? You're going to come and find a car on this corner. There's only one there. And you should be able to assess it.
I know, but you know what? Let me tell you, we had an incident over here where this woman, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, just hollering and cursing. She wanted this guy to come out, and I guess he was in the apartment with another woman. I don't know. But it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and she's going on and on and on and on and on, just cursing and pushing her horn. So you know what I did? I called the police, and I told them shots are being fired. They got here real fast. If I had just said that, I don't know, it might be a domestic issue, this woman's out here screaming at this guy or something, they'd have took their damn time about coming up here, Bren. But because I said shots are fired, they were here so quick. So see, look at that. Look at that.
Yeah, but I think that can cause problems too. And I'm not going to lie just to get somebody out there. If I have to do that, then we are, again, talking about a problem with how first responders or police officers respond to something. You know, if they essentially you could say in a better neighborhood they'd run out there. In your apartment complex where they know it's an apartment complex, yeah, maybe we'll show up. You know, it depends on how do they assess your apartment building. Do they assess it as being more black or white? Do they assess it as being more socioeconomically higher or lower level?
Yeah, higher, because you know where I live, so.
Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's also an apartment building. If it were a house, a whole nother story, see? And these are the kind of assessments that go on. There are reasons for it. It makes it a little easier to figure out what's going on, but you could also be wrong when you have these preconceptions. And that's what leads to profiling. And that's what leads to a police officer being fearful of possibly who he's dealing with. We hear a lot about police officers, you know, firing their gun and they thought they saw a weapon and things like that. You know, the ones that are more jittery and fearful, those are the ones that I'm more likely, from a psychological standpoint, I'm more likely to believe are going to jump the gun.
Well, what I'm fearful of is that so many across the nation need officers, including us, because we need them not only at the airport but downtown, that they just don't – they have a psychological aspect to go through. But it seems like sometimes some of these officers that they're hiring, they have prevailing issues. Why it's not caught in the interview when they go through their mental aspect of their application, I don't know. But that happens too, because they're saying like not right now, but even 2 years ago, because of what happened in Katrina, a lot of those officers left and they went to other states to find jobs. Well, they weren't the best officers coming out of New Orleans, believe me. They weren't the best. And so you not only have those, but you have other people that have maybe wanted to be a police officer all their life or, you know, wanted to come and do this and that. And they're not really qualified, but because they're hurting for police officers, they let some issues pass and hire these people when they know they shouldn't have. You know, look at the guy that left the gun in the car and his son pulled the gun out and shot himself. He's a police officer, had been 10 years on the job. Why would you leave a weapon in your car and you left your child in the car that's like, what was the kid, 4 or 5 years old? I don't even think he was maybe 3 or 4. And so he pulled it out thinking it was a toy, shot and killed himself because he thought it was a toy. So I'm thinking that if you're a policeman, you got 10 years, where is your mind at with your child in the car? Where's your head at? And you left a weapon in there and left the child. Should have took the child out the car, actually, and took the boy with him. But anyway, so you see, that's what I'm thinking, Brittany. Like, where are the officers' minds at that they're hiring now? The seasoned ones, yes, I agree with you 100%. They're not going to be so quick to jump out and shoot or pull a gun. You know, they're going to try and see if they can rectify the situation or at least calm it down that, you know, they can handle it. But, you know, these young ones that's coming up, it's like, you know, ride or die, as the kids say. So that worries me. That scares me about some of the new cops in the last 2 or 3 years have been hired, how they look at race, how they look at people in financial, whether they're poor or if they're rich. So, oh, my God, we're coming to the end of the show. Dadgummit. Brenda,
sorry.
Did you want to say anything? Go ahead before I close it
out. Well, I guess if there's one thing that I would say to people at this point, we do know that there's an issue. It's everyone around the world knows that it's an issue, especially in these United States. But they had a protest in England today, and it's because there was a shooting there. It was a white officer and a black young man.
Really?
And cool. Yeah, I mean,
no,
so
go ahead. I gotta look that up.
There are issues around the world where, you know, darker is a problem. I mean, it's not a problem for us. We are just who we are. We were born the way that we are, but we all need to sort of be in check. What's it like? Listen, there's a human being behind the color. There's a human being behind that color. It's like people who make judgments about somebody who has, quote unquote, almond shaped eyes or what you would consider Asian shaped eyes. One of my friends who's married to an Asian man, she says, you know, Asians don't see themselves as having Asian shaped eyes. And I thought about that, and I thought, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Go ahead, finish.
Oh, but it says
finish
it makes
thought.
Sense, and it's like you need to connect with human beings and stop connecting with just their meat suits. And the main thing about Ferguson and all that, we can't bring Michael back. We can't, that police officer, he can't get that career back. He should not even be in that career, in my opinion. I think he's a little too jittery. But I don't want to ostracize him more than he already, you know, at all. But we need to just now focus on how to heal this situation, because this gaping wound and continuing to go on and on about who did, shot, this, that, blame, whatever, it's not helping any of us. It's just causing more dissension.
Yeah,
and this nation needs to really get on the good foot and grow up.
Amen.
You know, all of us.
Amen.
Grow
up. I agree with you there, sister. I agree with you there. Well, y'all, we're at the end of the hour, and the time is just about off, and I just want to say happy Thanksgiving. And tomorrow, enjoy your family and your friends, and be thankful and be grateful, because a lot of people ain't here to enjoy Thanksgiving tomorrow. So be grateful for your loved ones and your friends that are here in your life, that are here to support you and love you. And I thank you all for being with me today. I thank Brenda for being on the line with me. I thank Miss Nina for being in the chat room. And I thank Pretty Thinker, who is my goddaughter, Tina. Thank you for being with us today, too, as well. So I will see you guys on Friday at Friday Traffic Jams. I'm back. No more computer problems. And we'll be listening to 1960s music. So tune in and enjoy the day after Thanksgiving, a little mellow yellow. All right. Love y'all. Have a good day. Have a good Thanksgiving tomorrow. Eat till you can't
Bye.
Eat anymore. Oh, and by the way, root for the Seahawks. All right. Good night.
They're gonna win. Bye.
That's right. Good night.